Good morning. My name is Mark. I'm filling in for the pastor this week. He's on vacation. He will be back next week, though, so don't let this discourage you from coming next week. What is a true Christian? Is it being just declaring ourselves a Christian and trying to become moral and to prove that? You know, Christianity, there's great differences of opinions on what Christianity is or who are Christians. Not only between people, but different religions. Last week, Doug taught on false teachers, false teaching, and it truly is everywhere. They teach counterfeit doctrines or lies. So if there's false teachers, false teaching, there must be truth. So where do we find the truth? We find the truth here. The Bible is inspired by God. It's without error. In it we find the knowledge of God, salvation, where man stands with God. And this God of the Bible is the creator of all. He's holy. He's perfect in every way. Nothing exists without him. This book tells us about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Today, I'd like to talk about justification. What is justification? Why do we need justification? And what are the results of justification? These are some of the questions I hope to answer today. So, if you will turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 21. If you're using a Pew Bible, it's page 941. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. James Edwards, in his commentary on Romans in the New International Biblical Commentary, sums up the significance of this text. In all Scripture, there is probably no verse which captures the essence of Christianity better than this one. Everything in verse 23 was due to humanity. Everything in verse 24 depends on God. So justification, why do we need it? If we turn back a couple chapters to Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18, Paul starts telling us why we must be justified. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Here we see that the wrath of God is revealed, and it's revealed to all who suppress the truth. In verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We see that all mankind knows there's a God. He has shown us through his creation. We know there's a God, and that leaves us without excuse. So why are we without excuse? Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We're without excuse because we don't honor God. Even though God showed himself to us clearly through his creation, that there is a God, we don't glorify him. Mankind does not do that. We're not thankful. We don't acknowledge God. So as a result, we became foolish in our thinking, and we worship everything but God. We were created to worship God. God's wrath is a response to our sin. And our sin is idolatry. Idolatry is just simply anything that we put before God. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, when he was done, it was perfect. Man's relationship with God was perfect. God walked with man. Man walked with God. We had perfect fellowship. One day, Adam and Eve decided to eat from the one thing God told them, from the one tree that God told them not to eat from. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, God doesn't make us robots. He gave them a choice to either worship him, to be obedient to him, or to do things their way. They chose to not listen to God, and they chose to eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. You see, I don't think that right can exist without wrong, and vice versa. What they did the moment that they ate from that tree is there was a separation between God and mankind. Mankind went off and did things their way, and we don't worship God as a result of that. It made us all sinners. We sin because we are sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. It's our very essence. We're sinners. That's why we sin. So we worship everything other than God. And it's unnatural to do that. Paul goes on to tell us in Romans chapter 1 about this. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. The verse right before that, he's talking about that we worship the creation instead of the Creator. That's unnatural. You see, our foolish thinking tells us that that's okay, but that's just weird. Why would you worship something that's made instead of the person that made it? So God gives us up. He goes on to show us a picture of what is unnatural in these next verses. Now this speaks of homosexuality. And I truly think that, first of all, I will say this, that is a sin. Okay? But I think is what Paul's point here is to show how unnatural worshiping idols is. And he uses this picture of homosexuality. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. See? The natural use. It's against the natural use. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. I think that truly, his point here is that it's unnatural. Not only do we unnaturally worship idols, but it's seen in homosexual activity. And he goes on to tell us of how unnatural our thinking is. In the next verses, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. That's what we're filled with. Why? Because we're sinners. This is what it makes us. He says they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Mankind is filled with unrighteousness. So how bad is this? How bad is it? I mean, everybody has moments of weakness, right? But you know, it's more than that. We're filled with it. Mankind apart from God is wicked. We hate God. We don't want to worship Him. It's unnatural. This doesn't slow us down, does it? We practice these things. And not only that, we approve of them. We don't have to look very far in the world to see that right is wrong and wrong is right. You know, God, on our hearts, writes His law. We know right from wrong. We know when we do wrong, whether you know Christ or not. Everyone knows right from wrong. So do we really think that we can escape judgment? There is a judgment coming, the end of the age. When Christ comes back, He's coming back to judge the world. Do we really think we can escape that? Maybe we do a few good things every once in a while, help some people out. Do we really think that that is going to do it for us? Or maybe we think, you know, maybe there isn't a judgment. It seems like, you know, my neighbor, he's constantly getting away with stuff. And in fact, I get away with stuff. So maybe God isn't that serious about sin or judgment. Maybe He's just trying to make us live together in a nicer way. The Bible says that's foolish thinking. That's how messed up our thinking is. It's wrong thinking. That's not true at all. There is a judgment and it's coming. Chapter 2, verse 4. Let's see why. Why is it that we get away with things? Or seem to. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? We may not see sin punished immediately. But here, it's not that we're getting away with it or that God doesn't care about it. He's doing it out of his goodness, that we might repent. We will not escape judgment. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impotent hearts, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There will be a judgment. What if we call ourselves Christians? What if we're moral and do good? You know, in the Old Testament, God chose a nation to be his people. They were the Jewish people. Their job was to shine his glory into the world, to see, let other nations see the power of God in their lives. They failed at that. God gave them the law through Moses, the Mosaic law. And some of them did their best to keep that law. The problem with the law was it doesn't guarantee God's favor. It was given to be obeyed, but the transgressions take away any hope of salvation from it. Paul tells us that in chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. The law was never given and meant to offer salvation, a way to salvation, to get right with God. So Paul then turns to circumcision. I guess we could go as far to talk about heritage or maybe I don't want to go too far down here because Paul's specific about what he's talking about here. He's referring to the Old Testament all through this. But maybe you were born a Christian, you've been in church your whole life. Does that make you right with God? You know, just as the Jewish people trusted in the law and circumcision as a sign, an outward sign that they were God's people. Paul addresses that in verse 25 through 29. He says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but no one can keep the law, right? But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. He's telling the Jewish people and us that things that we do on the outside, it doesn't matter. God looks in our hearts. It's what's inside of us. That's what matters. It's the work of God, not of man. Chapter 3. Nine through 18, Paul tells us, so all men are guilty before God. All men are guilty before God for sin. Verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not one. There is none who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They've altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. All men, apart from Christ, this describes us. No one seeks after God. If you don't know God and you think you're here seeking after God, Read this again. You don't seek after God on your own. You can't seek after God on your own. It's only through God's goodness. So we're not only guilty of sin, but the Bible tells us we're under the power of sin. You know, I tried thinking of an illustration of this, but all I could come up with was, if we were in a jungle, a really thick, dense jungle, and we're trying to cut our way through it. You know, you've seen the movies where they got the machetes and they're cutting away through jungles. But all we had was a butter knife. We wouldn't make it. And even if we could cut that back, those vines actually grow from our hearts because we're sinners. We're entangled in it. We're under its power. Verse 3, 19 through 20 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, we can't be justified by the law. God gave us the law so that we could, no doubt, see that we are sinners. And we could see our sin. And in fact, Paul goes on to say later that that law actually reveals our sin to us even more, in that when we're told not to do it, that's what we do. The law, keeping the law or a set of rules, is never, ever going to earn you God's favor. That's what he's saying here. And we're all under the law. Every mouth is stopped. We have no excuse. We're all guilty. No one is justified. And the reason the law was given is to show us our sin. So we see that God has shown himself to everyone through his creation. We reject him. His response is giving us over to our sin. We worship everything but him. we will be judged. The law cannot save us. We're helpless under the power of sin. We need a way to be free from the judgment and the power of sin. All mankind is in the same boat. We're helpless. Judgment's coming, and we have no defense. Now, to the good news. The answers to our problem, our sin problem, our separation from God, our right standing with God, is found where we started this morning, in verse 3, 21 through 26. And I'll read that again. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present that time that righteousness, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There is a way to be right with God, to be justified once again. Mankind does have hope. Paul's speaking here of the history of salvation. He's saying that now this is being revealed. The righteousness from God, or the righteousness of God, is revealed. But it's revealed apart from the law. There's no righteousness found in the law for us. And it's the same salvation that was promised in the Old Testament. Same thing. Remember our foolish thinking, how we think foolishly that the God's people, the Jewish nation, thought if they put their trust in the law and they just obeyed the law, they could be saved. Well, God didn't give it to them for that and then change his mind. It's the same way. He always promised a sacrifice from day one. He fulfills all of those promises. So how, if it's not done through the law? It's available to all, as verse 22 says. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. It's through faith in Christ for those who believe. Why do we need it? Well, I hope you can answer that question. Because we've all sinned. Paul goes to great lengths to show us that. So we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption in Christ, who satisfied God's holy wrath. He wiped away all of our sins, and this is done through his blood, his death on the cross, his resurrection. That's how it's done. And it's available to all through faith. God gave his son as a ransom for us. We're sinners. a price needed to be paid because God does not forget sin. Sin has to be paid. God is just. He paid that price for those who believe. He passed over sins in the past, but not judgment. Because he knew that he was providing the sacrifice for those sins to those who believe. And he wants us to repent. He also, being just in judgment, justifies those who believe. So what is justification? It's simply this. It's God declaring that we are righteous. It's not that we are righteous. It's God declares we're righteous. He declares we're right with Him. What the law could not do, Christ did. He paid the price for all the sins of those who believe in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, we have a legal declaration of our righteousness. If we stood before the Lord today, and we believed in Jesus Christ, we would be declared righteous. But it's not because of what we've done. It's so easy to look out and watch our brothers and sisters, or even, God forbid, even the world, and condemn them for doing something. I mean, there's times when we need to talk, sure. But every little thing that someone does, we don't have to be super critical of. We need to bear with one another, right? Love covers a multitude of sins. I'm not saying that we should just all go out and sin and no one say anything. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm talking about if someone wants green carpet in here and a big fight starts because that's crazy. It's not about our practice or works. If God declares us right with Him, we are right with Him. He's God. And when He declares us right, He doesn't make us holy. I mean, that's part of the sanctification process. He's working in us, right? We'll never be sin-free. There's a difference here. God declares us righteous, we're righteous. We're only righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can never earn God's favor. Never. Let me ask you a question. Has God declared you righteous? That's a question we should stop and really think about here. This has eternal implications. This is a very important question to ask yourselves. You know, about, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I was down in the breaks fishing. It rained and rained and rained. And we went too far down the road. We were off the gravel. And if anyone's been there, they know what I'm talking about. It's foolish because you're stuck. You can't hardly walk in that mud. So we decided, after about a week, there was not only my buddy and his son and myself, but there was 3 other groups of people down there camping with us. We decided to take a boat upriver, get on the phone, call our wives, our family, and let them know, you know, we're stuck here, we're okay. We got to a phone, we're going to bring a boat out in 2 days if you could come pick us up. So those 2 days passed. And I'm loading up my truck because I'm thinking, well, when we come back, I don't want to mess around down here. I just want to get in my truck and go. Because we were leaving the truck, he couldn't move it. So as I was riding my four-wheeler up the ramp. It was all muddy and it slipped off, so I went to jump off it. Well, my foot got stuck in that mud and my body went over it and I busted my leg. So there I lay in a big mud puddle in pain. And I think, well, I just kind of tweaked it. You know how you do that? If you can just get up, walk it off. You know what? No matter how hard I tried, I could not even lift that leg. It's kind of like us in our sinful state, isn't it? We know what we're supposed to do. I knew I needed to stand up and walk, but I couldn't. It's just like the law shows us we need to hold to God's perfect standards, but there's no way we can. So as I lay there in that mud puddle, I tried a few times to get up. I couldn't do it. My buddy come with another camper. They helped me up. And I used their legs to get me to the boat so that we could get out of there. The law shows us that we are stuck. We can't get up on our own. But you know what? Jesus stands there in heaven with his arms out, holes in his hands from the cross. And he says, come to me. Because he paid the price for our sins. He's the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So if he has declared you right in your standing with him, Christ definitely has paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Now again, hear me. This doesn't give us a license to go out and sin because our sins have been paid, okay? But the price has been paid. His wrath is no longer on us. God's not mad at you. He loves you. If he's declared you righteous, you believe that Jesus Christ died and paid the price for your sins. You're his child. And his wrath is no longer upon you. Not only that, but the power of sin is gone. Sin has no power over us. Doesn't mean we're sinless. We should quit trying to impress God by our works. He's happy with us. We're to be obedient and all that, sure. But if you think you're going to impress God by being holy and self-righteous, you're wrong. So let's just stop trying to impress God. I do it at times. It's foolish. You can't impress God. He doesn't look at us. He looks at Christ. Christ is the one. It's not us. We should never try to hide our sins from God. We can't hide from God. He knows. He sees all. Why do we want to try to hide our sins from him? We go to him and ask him for that power to overcome that sin, because sin doesn't have power over us. We've been freed from its power. The power he supplies enables us to overcome sin in our lives, to overcome sinful desires. God's working in us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with that. And his work is, part of his work is to help us through that, to give, supply the power. So let's not try things on our own. Let's go to God. He's the one who gives us everything. Let's start. If you are justified in God's sight through the blood of Jesus Christ, or by the blood of Jesus Christ, through faith, let's be people who God says we are. We are once sinners, haters of God. We're still sinners, but we're saved by grace. We are a new creation. We're born again. That's what separates us from a lot of religions that call themselves Christians. We're born again. We are a new creation. We've been made right with God. And we're a work in progress. We have a lot to be thankful for. Because we were hopeless. And one day God came and opened your eyes, if you believe in Jesus, gave you the faith to believe, and he made you a new creation. You were born again. So what is justification? It's a right standing with God that he declares. Why do we need it? Because we're sinners. Everyone sins. What are the results? We're made new. And we are declared righteous in God's eyes. And when judgment day comes, we have nothing to fear. Let's pray.